Welcome to the Planning Period Gurus podcast with Daniel Bemis and Darren Waldo.
Hey, I'm Daniel Bemis.
And I'm Darren Waldo.
Welcome to the Planning Period Gurus podcast, a short podcast dedicated to providing tips and techniques for teaching ELs.
In this episode, we'll talk about using Google Home in your classroom, building background knowledge with pictures, and developing PSPs. All right, so in this first segment here, Daniel, you do something pretty interesting in your classroom that I've walked in a few times and been able to see, and that's using Google Home in your classroom.
Yeah, so when this Black Friday rode around and they had like the Google Homes they were like $20. I decided to buy one and just try it out in the classroom. And it's something that's been very successful in my classroom. So for the Google Home, like, kids are always asking questions. They're like, when was George Washington born? Or like, when did George Washington die? And I'd always have to like get on the computer or get on my phone, type that up and look that up. But now with the Google Home, is you can just ask that, you know, say, hey, Google, and then you ask your question, and it just gives the reply back. So with Google Home also, too, I use it a lot for a timer. So back, usually I would post the timer on the active board, like if we're doing some silent reading. And, like, the kids, like, they were just focused on looking at the active board and just counting down the time. Whereas the Google Home, I just be like, hey, Google, set a timer for 20 minutes. And so it's gonna let us know when the 20 minutes is up, but there's no way that the kids can see it visually. So that's what it keeps them more focused on reading. So with Google Home, like if kids have trouble spelling words, they can just like, hey, Google, how do you spell books? And so it tells them how to spell it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like in my newcomer class all the time, kids are always asking me, like when we're doing something, how do I spell this? We give them a picture dictionary, but they still have to have some, at least a little bit of a starter on that. Whereas ask like, hey, Google, how do I spell, you know, that word? It just tells them. So yeah. They don't even have to have that, you know, alphabetic awareness to be able to start spelling a word.
Yeah. And what's great too, is it does math problems too. So when they're like, hey, how long has the United States been around? Well, I can say, well, hey, Google, what is 2018 minus 1,776, and then it gives you the answer. So that's pretty cool too, to do, you know, simple math problems. They also have like games you can play with the kids. Sometimes we play like Mad Libs, and you know it asks like, tell me a noun, tell me a verb, tell me an adjective. And so the students can like yell the word, and then it fills in the blanks for them, kind of like the old school Mad Libs. There was a game, it's called like Everyday Heroes, where you basically interview a career. And so it'll ask you like, do you want to talk to an astronaut or a fireman? And so you choose which one you want to ask. And so you can ask that person questions. They also have like choose your own adventures with like Mickey Mouse and cars to where the kids can, you know, if they're doing the Mickey Mouse, they could choose if they want to ride a bus or they want to ride a train. And there's also cool trivia games. Like there's like history trivia games, science, math. So cool little games that they can play.
And I've walked in before and you've had classical music playing when the kids are reading, and you use Pandora or one of the music services.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can use Google Play, Pandora, Spotify, but you use Pandora and Spotify, like you have like the like paid subscription, but Google Play, it'll play like the stations or any songs that you download.
So I could see this being great in a regular classroom or an ESL classroom, as far as just an extra resource for these kids, especially when their language is still developing, to be able to ask a question, simple questions, and to get that help. Whereas, you know, I know when I walk in your room, you've got 12 kids who've been here in the United States for like 1 year. They have a lot of questions, and so your time is banked in a certain amount. So for them to be able to go ask that quick question to Google, and then it gives it right back to them, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I've also seen, like, on Pinterest, like, they have, like these task cards. Like, these, like you could make, like, a poster if you wanted to of, like, questions that kids can ask Google Home. Or I've seen, like, Alexa where the kids can, ask certain questions to the device.
Awesome. So that's something you guys can check out if you've got the chance to get a Google Home and play with it.
All right, for this next segment, we're going to talk about using pictures to help build background knowledge with the ELL students. And so with our newcomers in level ones, you want to provide lots of visuals for the students to, you know, there might be a word that they don't understand in English, but if they see a picture and when you teach them that, they can make that connection.
Yeah, I found with the newcomers, that's the quickest way to build up at least their survival language early on, because we get kids that come in that know virtually no English at all. So we do vocabulary notebooks where I've actually went out and found like clip art pictures. And so, we get those cues in there whenever we're trying to, teach them those basic words that they're going to use. It's just super quick. Yeah. 'Cause like you said, they'll know what a pencil is in their language, but they don't know the word pencil. And so we actually, in our classroom, we kind of move forward on that even. Like, we just don't teach them just pencil. We start teaching them like common phrases that they're going to use with pencil, like may I sharpen my pencil or can I exchange my pencil, things like that.
Yeah, so what I use in my history class, I use Quizlet. And so what we did last year was we would print off the flashcards that, and then we would put in their our bell ringer book. That way they had a paper copy instead of, because a lot of these students, they might have a computer at home or they might have internet. And so whenever they need to study, they can take their bell ringer home. And so with Quizlet, you can have the vocabulary word. What does that vocabulary word mean? And then it comes with a picture. And then that way they can use that to study. Also for history, whatever vocabulary words we're talking about for the unit, I like to keep them up posted in my room. And then I also like to draw a picture for them to make that connection. And also with history, what I started doing this year was I went to Target and bought like dry erase tape. And they had it like on sale. And so what I do is I taped it up on my wall, and then I made like a visual timeline for the students to see. And so for like my world history class, we start at the Stone Age. And so like I drew a picture of like, you know, what is the Stone Age? And then on my dry erase tape, I would like draw like Stone Age and then write the years that we're talking about. And then that way the kids can see how much, you know, what we're moving at on the timeline and what we're talking about for each unit.
Yeah, it's just a really good thing when the kids walk in and they're, you know, whether you're dealing with U.S. history or world history or whatever, and you've got them up to date with from wherever you've started out up to where they're at now. So they can always look back at those pictures and see, you know, whether you're talking about ancient Egypt or ancient Greece and, like, things that you've talked about on that timeline as well. So it's a really neat thing. You actually hand-draw out your pictures, so yeah. It's something that you custom make, and it's kind of neat because you've actually – it's the same character in all the different pictures. So yeah. It looks like the same guys in Egypt and the same guys in China, but then he's also in the 13 colonies.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool to do. And also what I did this year, so like for American history, when we're talking about, and I think I stole this idea from you, when we're talking about like the 13 colonies and or North America, like I printed off flags. So we had like, to show like what countries were in North America at the time. So we got like our French flag, we have England's flag. That way, to show them the different countries that started the United States.
So one of the things that we've done in our science classes that I collaborate in is when we get to a new unit, like right now we're doing animal cells and plant cells. So we'll create a vocabulary sheet, and we've got a space in there where we're going to handwrite out our definitions. And in a different column, I'll actually go out and find pictures that represent either what that part of the cell looks like, or like, you know, for the mitochondria, I've got an arm that's flexing because we talk about the mighty mitochondria where it makes the energy. And so the different parts of the cell, we try to connect pictures that not only represent what it looks like, but also the function of it too. And so what we've done very successfully this year is we actually use that same form when we give them the test. So we'll take out the notes section. We'll add in our multiple choice questions there, but I'll leave the pictures in that are associated with that question. So our goal with these kids, especially when they're, you know, just acquiring the language, is to try to make as many connections, whether it's a visual connection, whether it's a verbal connection, whatever we can to get back to that topic. And we've found it to be pretty successful as far as they retain a lot of information that when they have these visual clues, whereas if we just give them a straight up quiz or test to take that's just words, we're just not nearly as successful.
Yeah. So using images, use them like immediately in your classroom.
Yeah, and I've actually collaborated with some higher-level ELs in like a U.S. history class. And at one point in time, we were talking about the causes of the Civil War and slavery and plantations, and we're using a lot of words that are very specific mm-hmm. to these situations that these kids have no history of learning. They have no background knowledge. So we build up the background knowledge by, I would go get the notes from the teacher, sit in the back of the room, help my kids, but at the same time, I'm on Photoshop. I'm finding pictures of a plantation. I'm finding pictures of a cotton plant. And so I would look at their notes that the teacher was presenting that they were copying, and I would actually just go ahead and like highlight the notes that I wanted to with those pictures and then give them to those kids and explain right there with them. So that way they could make those connections too. Because it's one thing to talk about, you know, the economic drivers of the North with factories and the agricultural impacts of the South, but they don't know a lot of these big words that we're using. So when you start associating those with pictures, even your higher level kids that have been here for 4 or 5 years might, you know, gain something from that.
There might be some words that they don't know.
All right, so it's that time of year for us in the ESL world to develop our PSPs, which stands for Program Service Plan, for each individual ESL kid that we have in our school. So Kentucky is a WETA state, so if you're listening to this in Ohio or Texas, you're not part of WETA, so there is some sort of standardized test, TESOL test or something like that, that your students take. This is the time of year when we get our results back from what they did in January, so we now make a plan for what accommodations and what types of services these students will receive for next school year. So we're kind of in the hustle of getting that done. We're here with about 17 days of school left, so we've got a lot of paperwork to get done. So we just want to talk real quick about how we kind of approach that method and get it done, because we have 106, 107 kids in our building to get finished.
And doing the PSPs, like, it's changed so much over time. Like, at first, I mean, when me and you started, we were doing pen, right? Like, you just like a blank PSP, and you just filled it out for every single kid. And then it got to where we were typing into a Word document. And then so now we use this website called Elevation, and it, you know, it makes it a lot easier to do the PSPs.
Yeah, so we can batch our kids together. So if we have kids that have common needs or common levels, we can actually put in what their accommodations are. So some of the popular ones some of the more common ones that we use for assessments are a reader, if the student is a struggling reader. So here in Kentucky right now, we actually have a small group when we do our state testing, and you'll have five kids and there'll be one adult that will read the test to them. Can't elaborate, can't deviate from the actual script, but they get a reader. So that's a pretty common one. We always give our ESL kids extended time. So the kids that get a reader accommodation are going to get a double time. So if it's an hour-long test, they have 2 hours to complete that test. And as a reader, it's going to take you longer typically to read than, you know, out loud than to for me to read it as a scanning read. So those are two of the big ones. We also do simplified language, but that only impacts the directions. We can't simplify any of the language on the test. It's kind of crazy because some of these kids have been here for 1 year and 1 month. They were exempted from testing last year, but now they're testing. So we can explain the directions a little bit easier, but then we get into the test and you can't do anything to try to make the test more accessible to the students. So it's a little crazy, but that's the rules we follow. Some of our students, we find out that they're literate in their native language, we'll give them a word-to-word translation dictionary to use. But even at that, there's only certain languages that we have access to. So Spanish, of course, Swahili, French, Arabic are some of the ones that we get quite a few students of that we're able to provide that. But it's something that we have to look throughout the entire year, make sure, number one, that they're receiving that accommodation throughout the entire year, but then also in the case of like a dictionary, to make sure that we're providing that accommodation on every assessment. We have the supplies to be able to provide that too. We also look at what their instructional accommodations are. So just generally in class. And once again, if they're getting a reader on testing if they're getting double time on testing, they're going to get the exact same thing in instructional. But then we have quite a few other ones that will line up for these students, whether they're getting graphic organizers or visual cues or small group testing or trying to think of some of the other commons. I mean, there's just so many. And yeah. we kind of have to look at each kid. So you can batch them to where, especially in elevation, where you can do 20 at a time or 10 at a time if they have very similar needs or the same exact needs. But we have to look at their test scores. We look at their reading scores and some of the other assessments we take. And we do all that just to make sure that we're providing them with the accommodations that they need. We'll also talk to their classroom teachers that they have when we're not around. So we get input from pretty much just a team. We talk to our building curriculum coordinator, mm-hmm. and we talk to one of our assistant principals that's also in charge of assessments. And so we kind of go through all of these different channels to make sure that we're giving the kids what they need. And so for us, having 107 kids in two grades here at this school, it does take a little bit of time to do that, but it's important. And we'll always go back continually and make sure that we're, number one, providing the accommodations that the kid needs, or seeing if a kid doesn't, or one of our students doesn't have a certain accommodation on their PSP that we might go back and revisit and find out they do need a reader. We haven't been providing that. But as we continually get to know the kids better and get more data on them, we see, you know, we need to change some of those.
Yeah. And something that we're excited about, too, this year is we might get the opportunity to work with, like, elementary schools and in the high schools, too, to talk about what does this student need? Like, if students come from elementary to middle school to us, like, what do they need? And then also we can meet with the high schools to say, like how to, like, create their PSP for them. Because we don't know what they're doing in high school or what they're – what they doing in elementary. So this is kind of, I don't know, it's pretty exciting to do that. All right. So hope you enjoyed episode number 3. If you want to, you can follow us on Twitter. It's _gurus. And my Twitter account is at Mr. Beamus Class. Mr. Waldo, what's your Twitter account?
And mine is Mr. Waldo ESL.
And we also have a Facebook page, so search us on the Planning Period Gurus. Okay.
And so something else that's really exciting coming up for us next week is that Wednesday, 10 o'clock Central Time, we will be presenting with a few other groups of people on KY Go Digital's live show on YouTube. So we'll be tweeting out the address to that, putting it on our Facebook as well. We'll be presenting about some tech tips that we utilize for reading, writing, listening, and speaking. We've got another team from one of our other schools in our district that will be presenting. And the third group that will be presenting is our ESL director for our district, as well as our ESL coach, pretty much is what she is. Done an awesome job helping us out all the time. So we're really excited to be able to present some of the ideas and the things that we've got going on.